How do you do? This is Sir Cecil Frump. Last summer, while touring America, I actually participated as an eyewitness to a contest known to the Americans as baseball. It would appear that there are 9 gentlemen on one side and 9 opposing gentlemen on the other. They have a first pillow, second pillow, third pillow, and then they have what is known as the home platter. There is one gentleman in charge of each pillow, and located around the home platter are 3 gentlemen. One is waving a stick. Another is all padded about and wears a strange-looking mask over his face, something like half a birdcage. He's called the catcher. And the third, a very disagreeable sort, always causing disturbances between the 2 teams, a sort of referee. Located in the center of this rather spacious territory is a tall, slender chap known as the tosser. Midway between the tosser and the gentleman who has charge of the third pillow is another chap called the stop short. He has access to the entire space and may play wherever he so desires. On the outer extremities are 3 chaps who, for some unknown reason, do not participate whatsoever. The tosser becomes very aggravated at the gentleman waving the stick, so he calls up the catcher and they have a little conference. And then the tosser winds himself around to toss the ball in an attempt to strike the gentleman waving the stick. But he is not successful. The referee calls out 1 ball. Just wasting time, you know, for of course it's very apparent, very obvious, that a ball was tossed. The catcher then returns the ball to the tosser, who again attempts to strike the gentleman waving the stick. But again he is unsuccessful. This time the referee says strike 1. It is very unfair, very unreasonable, an effrontery, I would say. It was not a strike at all, for the gentleman did not even move the stick. The catcher then returns the ball to the tosser, who at this point winds himself all up again and tosses the ball. As the ball approaches the gentleman waving the stick, he deliberately draws the stick back, strikes the ball, and knocks it to the outer extremity. Then he becomes very nervous, very excited. He doesn't know what to do. So he throws away the stick and starts running and jumping on all the pillows. Everybody shouts, "Run home, run home." I says he can't go home, you know. The contest is not completed as yet. You know, it's all so silly.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Back, go to the roof, 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 ball on home.
Play ball with Babe Ruth. Play ball with the Navy. The United States Navy brings you the adventures of Babe Ruth. And here to tell you about the immortal Babe is the man who knew him so well, his pal, the popular sports reporter, Steve Martin.
This story starts in the North Woods on the opening day of the deer season. The Babe and I had driven up in his big car, and when we parked the car and started into the woods, we had plenty of company. Dutch Reber, the Cleveland pitcher, came in right behind us.
If I'd known you were coming up here, Ruth, I'd have stayed home. You're so lucky you'll get every deer in the woods.
Oh, why don't you make another record, Dutch? I hear that lucky stuff every time I hit a home run off you. Now, let's go, Steve.
Now, wait a minute, big shot. Huh? There's something else I want to tell you. You're not only a no-good lucky jerk, but you're a big-mouth punk.
Can I get lost, will you?
I never saw you take half that from anybody, Babe. How come you took it from Dutch Reber?
I know how it is with him, Steve. He's sore because I've always been able to hit him like I owned him.
Well, sure, I know.
Besides, he's had a lot of tough luck.
Hmm?
Sickness in his family. Big bills, you know. Now, let's forget him. We came up here for fun.
Hey.
Huh?
Hey, look. Oh, that's a 10-point buck if I ever saw one.
Wow.
Wait till he hits that clearing, Steve. And then we'll let him have it.
He...
drop him. Hey, Steve, that scream. That was a man. Come on. Holy smokes. On the other side of the clearing. Oh, where? Oh, hey, there he is, on the ground.
Babe, it's Dutch Reber.
Come on, let's get him to a doctor.
How is he, Doctor? How's Dutch Reber?
He'll be all right, Mr. Ruth.
Oh, that's really great.
But he's lost the sight of his right eye.
Huh?
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. The eye will look the same, but the optic nerve...
But, Doctor, is can
that
you be sure...
Babe Ruth?
Yes, Dutch?
Come in here. I want to see you.
Can we see him, Doctor?
Yes, for a minute or two. Right in here.
The doc says you're going to be okay, Dutch.
That wasn't the way you planned it, was it?
What?
You wanted to knock me off and then say I got killed in a hunting accident.
What are you saying?
Now, look here, Dutch. Shut up, Martin. Sure, that's what you wanted, Babe. You wouldn't fight me. But you hated me because I showed you up for a yellow belly. And you hid in the woods and shot me.
Now, wait, Dutch, wait a minute.
So I couldn't tell the whole world that their big hero, the great Babe Ruth, is yellow.
Dutch, you're wrong.
You're crazy.
You'd better leave. He's getting too excited.
Yes. Come on, Babe. Now, look, Doctor, I'm paying all Reber's medical expenses. Now, if there's any way to save his eye, hospitals, specialists, anything, shoot the works. I'll foot the bill.
It's impossible to save his eye.
Steve, listen. You too, Doctor. I want both of you to promise you won't tell a soul about Dutch's eye.
Hmm? Why not?
Because if it gets out, some ball player will start dribbling those little bunts to Dutch's blind side. And when they see Dutch mess him up, the other players will have to bunt too, and they'll bunt him right out of baseball.
Well, Babe, you don't mean you think Dutch can still play?
Well, of course he can. His arm wasn't hurt. He's got a couple of big seasons left to put himself and his family on their feet. If you fellas will keep your mouths shut.
Naturally, we promised. And when the next season rolled around, Dutch was taking his regular pitching turn for the Indians and looking as good as ever. But against the big fella, Dutch looked like Superman. And that was the strange thing, because where before the big fella used to hit Dutch like he owned him, well, now Dutch seemed to own the Babe. After a series in Cleveland where Dutch horse-collared the Babe in two games, I collared the big fella on the train back to New York.
Babe, you've got to stop easing up on Dutch.
I'm not easing up on him, Steve.
Now, don't give me that. You're hitting all the other pitches, but when you get up against Dutch, you play dead.
I can't understand.
Now, look, Babe, this race is between us and Cleveland, which means it's between you and Dutch Reber. Now, they're pitching Dutch against us twice in each series, and everybody knows that as you go, so go the Yankees. So if we lose the pennant, it'll be your fault.
Look, Steve, I give you my word, I'm not easing up on Dutch.
What is it, then?
I don't know. But when I get up there against him and he gives me that dirty laugh, I see his blind eye. The eye that only we know can't see. And, Steve, I keep thinking, maybe I did it. And then...
Dutch and the Indians kept the sign on the big fella. And when Cleveland came into New York for the final series of the season, they were leading by 1 percentage point. All they needed was an even split of the 4 games, and they were in. But the Yankees had to take 3 out of the 4 to win the flag. And then those ugly rumors started. As the whole country expected, Dutch Reaver pitched the first game and beat us. Twice, with Yankees on the bases, Babe banged into a double play. And that night, the rumors got uglier and louder. The Yankees took the second and third games, when Babe broke up each contest with a terrific home run. But then the fourth game, the big one came up. I was shaving, getting ready to go to the ballpark, when the phone rang. It was my editor. He said that the Babe had benched himself, and he wanted me to hop over and check on it.
It's true, Steve. I'm going to sit this one out. I'm going to let young Myers play left field.
Oh, you're crazy, Babe. You can't do that.
Sure I can. Huggins got sick again last night. He put me in charge of the team.
But Babe, listen.
It's no use arguing, Steve. This is for the good of the team.
Now, you've got to listen to me, Babe. You've got to play today. Otherwise, people will believe you don't want to win this game.
Nuts. I know what I've got to do.
The Indians got a run in the very first inning. They didn't get any more, but with Dutch Reaver sharp as a razor and setting the Yanks down in order, that one Cleveland run loomed as big as a mountain. There wasn't the noise there ought to be from that huge crowd, and I knew that plenty of fans were wondering about those rumors. Then in the seventh inning, Charlie Cochran of the Sun got a phone call, and when he told me about it, I raced out of the press box and down into the tunnel to the Yankee dugout. I called the Babe out. Now, Babe, listen, I just heard this. The reporters have got it. They say the players want to bunt on Reba, but you won't let them. Babe, you've got to let them bunt.
What's the matter with you, Steve? You know about Dutch's blind eye.
Sure, but
if we start bunting on him and he falls on his face, everybody will know about it. He'll never pitch another game.
Even if that's so, then...
It is so.
Steve, Babe, do you realize they're saying that you want to lose this game, that the gamblers are paying you to?
Nobody will believe that story about me. Anyhow, maybe we won't lose.
You mean you're going to tell the boys to bunt?
No.
Well, then how...
Never mind. I got to get back to the game, Steve.
There was nothing more I could do, and I went upstairs feeling as if I was gone to the funeral of my best friend. It was the last of the night. The Yanks were still 1 run behind, and Dutch had set the first 2 men down swinging. And then... Joey Sewell smacked a liner at the Cleveland shortstop, who bobbled it, and Sewell was safe on first. The fans made a little noise then, but there wasn't much hope in them. Not with young Myers, who hadn't had a hit coming up. And then I blinked and didn't believe it when I saw that big man with the pipe stem legs walking up to the plate, swinging 3 bats. But the public address had it.
Attention, please. Number 3.
My heart was hammering against my ribs, and I wanted to call out to the big fella, but I couldn't. I was frozen. I wanted to yell to him not to try this crazy thing. If he bungled it, and the chances were 100 to 1 that he would, they'd say he put himself into the game to make sure the Yankees lost. The crowd hushed down, and not even the reporters made a sound. 2 pitches swinging late. I could see Dutch Reaver's teeth as he laughed and called something at the Babe. Then he threw 2 bad pitches trying to get the big fella to go for them. Babe let him go. Then he fouled one. And then Dutch missed the corner for a 3rd ball. Dutch looked Babe over for a long time before the next pitch, giving him that sneering grin. And then he went into his windup and let fly. The big fella swung. It was as long a home run as I've ever seen, and the Yankees had won the pennant. But how had the big fella done it? Well, I asked him about it in the clubhouse when the happy players finally stopped banging him on the back. Babe, how'd you do it?
I don't know, Steve. I just knew I had to hit a homer.
It was the only way I could beat Dutch and still keep his secret.
Oh, brother, that's one for the books. It's the only time in history that a pitcher won by losing a big game.
You can say that again, Martin.
Hello, Dutch. I suppose you came in here to pick a fight, huh?
No, babe. I just heard that your boys wanted a bunt on me, but you wouldn't let them.
Who told you that malarkey?
Never mind. I also know about those gambler rumors. Well, I just want to say I had you wrong, babe. You're a pretty swell guy. Will you shake hands?
Sure. I'll tell you this right now, Dutch. The jinx you had on me is over. From here in, every time you pitch to me, duck.
When he hit the last home run, the fan was all on the edge of the seat. The pitcher's heart began to skip a beat when he decided to make that one last throw. Then hammering Hank, he hit that vicious blow. That last home run, last home run. Hank was going some when he hit the last home run. Yesterday, or was it today, when Hank he wiped all the records away. Now what I'll see from now on, the record to beat will be his very own. Last home run, was the last home run. Hank was going some when he hit the last home run. Go, man! Man was sits as quiet as a mouse. Some were ready to cry, some were ready to shout. Sitches came from one last whirl. The homer was heard all around the world. Last home run made the last home run. Hank was going some when he hit the last home run. Even hit fortune and fame, he messed up another great legend name. Record I see, been so long, has been toned down and now it's all gone. Last home run, was the last home run. Hank was going some when he made the last home run. Oh, Lord! Come on home, son!
Uncle's voice, whoever's there playing baseball, by Mr. Cal Short. That's right here, tell a whole lot at various times about them games of football you have down here in New York. Now that I'd have to see a game of it. So the other day I went out here to one of your city pastures to see a game of football. Well, I must say, I didn't see much ball playing of any kind. All I got to see was about 50 or 60 ambulances, and I think that many surgeons and physicians. Well, from what I could see of the game, I calculate you needed all of them. I saw one fella, about 50 others had him down, and just looked to me as though they were all trying to get a kick at him. Well, now, if that's what you call football playing, your Uncle Joyce don't want none of that from his, not by a darn sight. Well, I never played but one game of ball in my life. You see, it was along in the springtime of the year, and weather was pretty nice and warm. Boys were feeling a little kittenish, and they said to me, Uncle, we'd like to have you help us play a game of baseball. I said, boys, I'm getting a little bit too old for them kind of pastimes, but I'll help you play one game. I'll be gosh dinged if I don't. Well, we got out in the pasture, was just getting ready to play, got the bases and bats put around in the places, and bucket of drinking water up in the fence corner where we could get a drink when we wanted it. And I happened to look around, and there was a guy there, as big as Billy Goat, I calculate, I ever seen in my life. I know there's going to be trouble. We didn't have any bleachers, but we had 30 or 40 hogs, and they were the best rooters you ever seen. Well, you ought to see the boys getting out of the pasture when they seen that goat. Well, I would have got out too, but I got stuck in the fence. Well, you ought to see that Billy Goat getting me through the fence. He didn't get me all the way through, because I was halfway through when he got there, but he got the last half through. I didn't make any home run, but I was the only feller had a score of the game. I couldn't see the score, but I had it. Every time I'd go to stop down, I knowed just exactly how the game stood.
A baseball game was in progress with Mathewson on the mound. Hans Wagner was standing at the plate, digging his toes from the ground. Then came the pitch, the crack of the bat. The ball soared up in the sky. There was old Pop Anson over on first, watching it sizzle by. It was just too high for the wonderful try of Napoleon Lazaway. It landed out in center field with Speaker a yard away. He picked it up, made a quick return, was relayed to the plate by Eddie Collins on second base, and the runner was just too late. The next man up was Baker, who tried for a mighty clout, but popped up a foul to Lou Krieger instead, and that made the second out. Then old Cy Young came up to do what the other two had tried, but he sent up a fly to McGinnis, who quickly retired the side. The game was drawing to a close, and neither side was winning. Walter Johnson was now in the box, pitching the final inning. The man at bat was Muggsy McGraw, who played right into his hand and took three vicious swings at his curve the first man up at fan. Then Fleet Sam Crawford came to bat, went out on a grounder to Scott, right at the time when a good line drive would have meant an awful lot. Then up stepped a famous figure with his trusty bat in his hand. Was Ruth, the mighty Sultan of Swat, the pride of all the land. He hit the first ball in the groove. The atmosphere was tense. Ty Cobb stood gazing at the pill as it cleared the right field fence. The Bay broke up the ball game just when things had begun to look dark. Oh, what a wonderful time I had in my dream of the baseball park.
Yeah. Batter digs in. Pitcher's all set to work. Around comes the right arm. In comes a curveball that swung on. Makes a line drive out of the first base. It's curving. Milo, fair ball. And the batter pulls up at second.
Kinder and Parnell are pitching swell ball.
So may the A's get lost in Philly, rah, rah, rah. May we knock the engine silly, rah, rah, rah. On the Sox our hopes we're pinning, right down to that final inning. May they win and keep on winning, rah, rah, rah. Call the Red Sox, rah, rah, rah.
Here's to Bobby, Dora, and Teddy. May their bats be always ready. May their pitching staff be ready. Rah, rah, rah. And we're here to state that Billy Goodman's great. And that Cirilla boy, say he's our pride and joy.
McBats and Tommy Wright will help him win the fight. McDermott, Stubbs, and Joe are set to let go.
May the Yankees' empire crumble. Rah, rah, rah. May the Tigers' hopes be humble, rah, rah, rah. But here's to dear old Joe McCarty, may his appetite be hearty when we have our pennant party, rah, 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 rah.
at Fenway's hopping and the night is coming on. Well, the fans are flocking and the bats are popping. There's a party going on. When the socks are rocking and the bleachers are flopping, there's a magic in the air. Well, there ain't no stopping when the socks are rocking at the hop.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the Bit Slap. And like the man said, play ball. Winter is over. That's right. Winter is over. Well, for most of you anyway. Here in Maine, I don't know. They got a foot of snow yesterday in Portland. Sorry, Portland. We didn't get any of it, and we're about 135 miles away. And hey, tough. You know, that's all I can tell you. That happens a lot up here in Maine, where some places get a whole boatload of snow and some people don't. We've been pretty lucky up here in Bangor. I am knocking on wood as we speak, okay? So we turn our thoughts to springtime pleasures, one of which being girls' summer clothes, of course. We like that. And the other, of course, is baseball. And we started with Sir Cecil goes to a ball game. I don't know who that was. It was, I guess, Sir Cecil. Which Sir Cecil? Who the hell knows? There's like 100 of them. I did try to find out, and I failed. So sorry, folks. If I ever find out, I'm not going to tell you, because you don't want to know. Trust me. Take Me Out to the Ball Game, as done as only Dr. John can. The Adventures of Babe Ruth, a radio series. This was the Dutch Reaver story. I have no idea if that's really Babe Ruth's voice or not. I suspect not. The last home run was McKinley Mitchell. I don't know anything about him either. Uncle Josh plays baseball with, of course, Lev and Cal Stewart. And I got to ask at this point, is there anything Uncle Josh didn't do? I mean, he's been everywhere. He's done everything. I know what he's done. He's never seen the Who. All right? So, ha! On you, Cal Stewart. Arthur Fields after that. My Dream of the Baseball Park. Of course, there were only three vocalists allowed to sing back in 1928. That was Arthur Fields, Billy Murray, and Irving Kaufman. I believe it was a law in 17 states. This is from 1928, and it's my only opinion, but I think it sounded, at best, wooden. Okay? I don't know. Stephen McNair after that. We Want Mets, Spunky, something like that. Couldn't get the title quite straight on that, but yes, we do want the Mets. We're ready for them. And then we heard from the legendary Pink Holes, Baseball Park Fun, Dad. That's one of my all-time favorite baseball things, and I'm really kind of surprised I haven't played it for you yet. Maybe I have, but it fell through the cracks. Don't know. And then, because here we are in Maine, and it's all Red Sox all the time here, and the frickin' Patriots, we had the Red Sox Polka. That was Gene Blue and Marshall Young, followed up with Freddie Cannon and Los Straitjackets. The Sox are rocking. So I do have a bunch of songs about another team here, not the Mets, but oddly enough, the Dodgers. I found a lot of Dodgers stuff today, so let's get to that, and I'll be back.
What is a Dodger? That's easy. A Dodger is a baseball player. That's not the whole answer, is it? Let's take it from the beginning. The beginning is spring training, Vero Beach, Florida. A village thick with orange groves becomes overpopulated with ball players. A rookie is playing to become a Dodger. A veteran is playing to stay a Dodger. A Dodger is destiny. Exhibition games. They aren't important games because they don't count for the pennant. Let me tell you, they count big to each rookie and veteran. One pitch can make the change from major to minor. A Dodger is opening day. Dodger Stadium in red, white, and blue bunting. 56,000 eager fans. Announcement. Cheer. Distinguished citizens. Former great players. The Star-Spangled Banner. The national anthem and the national pastime go together. The governor throws out the first ball. Roseboro makes the bad pitch look good. The umpire roars, "Play ball!" A Dodger is the baseball season. A baseball season is hot afternoons in New York, windy nights in San Francisco, an outdoor game played indoors in Houston. It's a home run by inches or a foul ball by inches. It's missing a line drive by inches or making a spectacular catch by inches. A Dodger is a bum or a hero in the game of inches. There's the Dodgers' private plane. The team arrives in Chicago or Pittsburgh or Cincinnati at 4 a.m. The players have slept with victory, but not long enough. No city looks good at 4 a.m. The Dodgers are playing night or day against such talents as Aaron, Banks, Callison, Boyer, Clemente, McCovey, Gibson, Spahn, Stewart, and Mr. Willie Mays. A Dodger is a worthy opponent. A Dodger rates respect. It's All-Star game time, and the Dodger All-Stars are in it. It's also the season's halfway mark. The Dodgers are up there battling for first place. Each game is played like there's no tomorrow. But there is tomorrow, and years of yesteryears. A Dodger is tradition. Tradition is Pete Reiser running into a fence, Zach Wheat banging out a triple, Pee Wee Reese making an impossible catch. Tradition is Roy Campanella and Jackie Robinson, another voice of the Dodgers, saying what needed saying for a long, long time. A Dodger is destiny. And tonight, it's a long game. The Dodgers, leading in the ninth, are in trouble. And Jim Brewer, a boy from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, makes the long walk from the bullpen in Dodger Stadium to relieve Don Drysdale from Van Nuys. There's a one-hopper to Dick Trusiewski of Einem, Pennsylvania, who flips to Maury Wills of Washington, D.C., who tosses to Wes Parker of West Los Angeles, California. And the game is over. An entire season to find out. I know the answer. Now. It's simple, yet it's unique. A Dodger is the sound of Sunday afternoon. A Dodger is a grown-up with a lot of little boy in him. What is a Dodger? A Dodger is a way of life. Thank you.
There's a baseball team that's playing in L.A. And they came to win, but above all they came to play. Just how we feel about them is difficult to hide. Though I'd like to describe them, description is defied. Picture Mona Lisa etched on a crystal cup. It can't compare to Sandy Koufax, even when he's warming up. A blazing comet shooting across the midnight blue would lose to Drysdale's fastball when the count is 3-2. You can keep the treasure of Sierra Madres. It can't bring the pleasure of our Johnny Padres. And Mercury streaking like a graceful bird. Is Willie Davis sliding into fame? Excuse us if we float a bit and go on a spree. We're entitled to gloat a bit, 'cause you see, we won today. Our losing streak is finished over and done today. We won today. And from here in, watch how we go. Today, we are all on our perfect demeanor. The grass on the infield looks greener. The air in the outfield is cleaner. Let's live this moment, for who knows how long it will stay. To think it was only last night, all the world was so dismal and gray. We had blown the game, and we sang in shame. We lost today. I still see the face of men left on base. We lost today. My world just stopped while pop flies were dropped. We were playing good ball, then our luck all turned. And oh, the pain to recall all their runs was unearned. This humiliation was also thorough. But we shall retain, so help me. Our signals got crossed, we lost today. But today is today, and tomorrow's tomorrow. We'll start a streak that will end all sorrow. And again we'll say, we won today. Did Tommy Davis save us with a home run today? What fun today! We are just beginning, and we'll keep right on winning. And after each last inning, we'll say, we won today.
If you do to others like you wouldn't want done to you. Oh, you better be careful, for there's somebody's keeping score. In that great tomorrow land, the honor of chosen few. So you better be careful, for there's somebody's keeping score. Know you about it, or
shouting hallelujah. You're gonna get exactly what's coming to you. So if you're in trouble, there is nothing that you can do but get on your knees and pray, for there'll be the devil to pay. At that final curtain, you can be certain somebody's keeping score. Every error that you make is marked down as a big mistake. If you're not righteous, how you'll pay when they drag you out on Judgment Day? A big black mark beside your name means you have gone and lost the game. So glance sharp and touch each base and you'll be in first place. If you do to others like you wouldn't want done to you, oh, you better be careful, for there's somebody's keeping score. In that great tomorrow land, they honor a chosen few. So you better be careful, for there's somebody's keeping score. No use bowing or shouting hallelujah. You're gonna get exactly what's coming to you. So if you're in trouble, there is nothing that you can do but get on your knees and pray, for there'll be the devil to pay. At that final curtain, you can be certain somebody's keeping
in a house of the Lord. In fact, my father was a Baptist minister. One of the first things I was taught was the Ten Commandments. Of these, the most profound, to me anyway, was, "Thou shalt not steal." Now, when it comes to playing baseball, especially for the Dodgers, all sorts of wild things happen. When I come to the plate, I keep my eye on the ball. I keep a firm grip on the bat and in the belief that I'm doing right, and swing with all the heart and soul I can muster. Then when I get on base and the Dodger fans start chanting, "Go, go, go," it's tough to remember what I was taught when I was young. But big league baseball is a game for fierce competitors, and to me, it's a way of life. Stay in the game and be on the starting team. Good hitting and stealing bases helps my team to win. So I watch a man on the mound say a short prayer and take a deep breath and jump off, trying to steal that extra base. All I'm doing is working at what I can do best and putting all that I can into it. That's all any man can do.
You gotta dig on me, Dodger Stadium. Dodger Stadium. Where do the movie people congregate? Where does the traffic ever make you late? Where did the Yankees come and lose four straight? If you don't know, I will elaborate. Dodger Stadium.
see the players in their prime? Where will they win the pennant one more time? Dodgers Stadium. Dodgers Stadium.
Spring, and when the summertime comes, I'll still be doing my thing. And if a fall wind is blowing, I dodge a pennant flag. I'm playing the third base bag. Well, I never get tired of dust in my eyes, or chasing ground balls, or catching hot flies. Standing here on a gorgeous day, waiting for the man to say it's time to play. I can't believe I made it, but I know it's no gag. I'm playing the third base bag.
Victory, Sandy, Dandy Sandy, have you a fling, take a swing, it does no good to pump, don't be bugged and don't be bitter, cause if it isn't a big no-hitter, Dandy Sandy will shut you out.
Take me out to the ball game, if we don't win, it's a shame, cause it's fun.
Smith. They can't hit whatever they can't see. To them, a pop-up is a moral victory. Sandy, Dandy Sandy, have your fling, take a swing. It does no good to pop. Don't be bugged and don't be bitter, cause if it isn't a big no-hitter, Dandy Sandy will shut you out.
Take me out to the ball game.
Take a swing, it does no good to pop. Don't be bugged and don't be bitter, cause if it isn't a big no-hitter, Dandy Sandy will shut you out.
Jackie Robinson.
hit that ball. It went zooming across the left field wall. Yeah, boy.
Yes, yes, Jackie hit that ball.
And when he swung his bat, the crowd went wild because he knocked that ball a solid mile. Yeah, boy.
Yes, yes, Jackie hit that ball. Satchel Paige is mellow, so is Campanella. Newcomb and Dobie too. But it's a natural fact, when Jackie comes to bat, the other team is through.
Did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball? Did he hit it? Yes! And that ain't all, he stole home!
Yes, yes, Jack is real gone. Jack is real gone. Cause Jackie is a real gone guy.
Go get it.
What do you mean, go get it? Man, that ball's way in left field.
I don't care what field it's in. Willie plays all field.
Every time we come to the game, you're talking about Willie plays all the field.
That's right. He plays.
Let's call Willie and ask him. Call him.
Okay. Hey, Willie.
Yes.
Are you Willie Mays?
Yes.
Whose ball was that?
Why was it?
In left field.
Well, that's Irvin's ball.
I told you that. You... Every time we come to the game, we got to talk about it. The next time, I'm going to sit in the grandstand.
Say, hey, fellas, what's your name?
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Swinging at the plate. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. That giant kid is great. When he hits the ball, it's long gone, man. Hits it farther than can't begin. Swings the bat like a little lead pipe. When they reach the ball, it's overripe. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Swinging at the plate. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. That giant kid is great.
He runs the bases like a choo-choo train. Swings around second like an aeroplane. His cap flies off when he passes third. And he heads home like an eagle bird.
Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Swinging at the plate. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. That giant kid is great. Yes, he covers center like he had jet shoes. The other batters get the Willie blues. Anything hit his way is out. Man, it just don't pay those guys to clout. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Swinging at the plate. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. That giant kid is great.
Served his Uncle Sam. He left the Giants in an awful jam. But now he's back and he's Leo's joy. And Willie's still a growing boy.
Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Swinging at the plate. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. That giant kid is great. That giant kid is great. Say Willie.
What you gonna say?
Say hey.
I want to see Amazing Willie Mays, who got a solid hit just when we needed it. Amazing Willie Mays, who's raised to catch the ball way out against the wall. Amazing Willie Mays, who has a snappy style, who has a winning smile, who hits the ball a mile, who makes the plays, who threw the runner out, who raised the people shout. Amazing Willie Mays. Say hey, say hey, say hey kid, let's see you make another catch the way you did. Say hey, say hey, say hey boy, you're making all the giant rooters jump for joy. Who has a super arm? Who has a special charm? Amazing Willie Mays. Who scored the winning run and did it just for fun? Amazing Willie Mays. Who has that extra spark? Who makes the game alive? Who brings me to the park? Who makes the plays? Who hit a hefty clout? Who read the people shout? Amazing Willie Mays. Say hey, say hey, say hey kid, let's see you make another catch the way you did. Say hey, say hey, say hey boy, you're making all the giant rooters jump for joy. Who got a solid hit just when we needed it? Amazing Willie Mays. Who raced to catch the ball way out against the wall? Amazing Willie Mays. Who has a snappy style? Who has a winning smile? Who hits the ball a mile? Who makes the plays? Who threw the runner out? Who read the people shout? Amazing Willie Mays.
What a player.
Amazing Willie Mays.
Say hey.
Amazing Willie Mays.
There's a new thrill a dealer on Coogan's Bluff. A horse-eyed killer that's rough and tough. Fans by the millions are singing his praise. Say hey, Willie Mays. Got an arm like DiMaggio, runs like Cobb. Could this be Speaker back on the job? Makes Lippy Dippy with his magical plays. Say hey, Willie Mays. In New York town, believe it or not, when the pennant flag is raising, the Duke will crown him Prince of SWAT.
If Willie keeps on amazing.
I'm not a prophet or a prophet's son, but he'll be the daddy when the Duke is done. So put all your money on the Birmingham Blaze. Say hey, Willie Mays.
He runs like a rabbit, sly as a fox. Got home run habits in the batter's box. He felt that ball and said,
hey,
it's over the fence and far away. He got eyes like an eagle watching the sky. It just ain't legal how we snag a fly. The minute they hit it, he's coming on to grab that ball. And it's almost gone.
Say hey, hey, Willie Mays. Say hey. Say hey, hey, Willie Mays. Say hey.
He belt that ball so far away.
Say hey, hey, Willie Mays. Say hey. Say hey, hey, Willie Mays. Say hey.
He belt that ball so far away.
Hey, Willie, there's a story told that we believe is true. The Lord made you and lost the mold, so there's only one of you.
For a place in the baseball hall of fame, scribes are writing down Willie's name, for he is a credit to a national game.
Glory to his name.
Say, hey, Willie, Willie Mays.
right, looks like we got an idiot running around on the field, so we're going to have to suspend the game for a moment until they can go sweep them off. All right, so this gives me a good time to tell you what we've been listening to. We started with Vin Scully. We had a whole bunch of Dodger songs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 7 or 8 of them. And we started with Vin Scully, What is a Dodger? Another one of those What Is things. Someday I'm going to give you a whole collection of those so you can tell your friends. Stubby K after that, The Soliloquy of a Dodger Fan, talking about the futility of being a Dodger fan. There was a time when it was futile. Maury Wills himself, who's age 84 now, apparently had a recording career because we just heard 3 songs by him. Somebody's Keeping Score, The Ballad of Maury Wills, which included the Baytown Singers, and then Dodger Stadium, or as they say it, Dodger Stadium, and that was Maury Wills along with Willie Davis, who died in 2010, and Stubby K, who I think died last century. I don't know. He was one of those older guys. And then we heard another Dodger singing. Ron Say, the Penguin, himself, from 1976. That was the third base bag. I can't make this stuff up, folks. I'm swearing to you. And then Dandy Sandy, about Sandy Koufax, of course, from Jimmy Durante. And Count Basie, along with Taps Miller there on the vocal. Did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball? You've heard that before, I'm sure. As well as the next one, Say Hey Willie, which was, of course, the Traineers, along with Willie Mays himself. Following that, the King Odom Quartet and the amazing Willie Mays. And then, not to be outdone, the Singing Wanderers, Say Hey, Willie Mays. And that brings us up to where we are now, which is the day after opening day. Mets opened yesterday. I'm going to say they won because they've won more games on opening day than any other team. And they're playing Atlanta, who's having their problems this year. What do I think is going to happen? Who cares? I think the Cubs are going to repeat. If they can, you know, keep from being injured, if they can plug up a few of the losses that they traded away, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm not an expert because all I see are Red Sox games. And it really gets to me, so I don't know. Anyway, we will get, I have one more here for you, and we will get going because I have another show to prepare for next week. And this may sound a little familiar, but stick with it.
My name is Abner. I'm a baseball. On top, I got horsehide and stitches, and inside, I got all kinds of string and a cork center, and they're supposed to made us livelier in the past few years so they could knock more home runs with us.
And there she goes!
This we could do without, you know. They say years ago when they had pitchers' battles, so-called, you'd go through 5-6 innings and the only wear and tear on you was the tobacco stains from the pitcher's fingers. Today they use something like 100 of us poor balls during a single ball game. They clout us. They bang us around. Oh, it's brutal. Of course, I'm out of the profession now. I'm one of the lucky ones. I still got all my stitches. I was hit over the fence, sure, but I wasn't pocketed by one of those excited kids and poked around in the sand lots 4 or 5 years till you get punchy. Oh, how I pity those pals of mine. They got it worse off than golf balls. A golf ball, they clout you in the rough, they can't find you. Half the time, they don't want to find you. Well, I got a very special story, and it all started one bright, sunny day at the Yankee Stadium during the last of a crucial 4-game series between the Cleveland Indians and the New York Yankees. I've been in the ball sack for 3 days waiting my turn. It was mighty dark in there, and there were some 50-odd balls, every one of us trying to shove our way to the bottom and wait out the Washington Senators who was coming into town tomorrow. It was the last half of the ninth with the Indians ahead 6-3 and Yogi Berra up for the Yanks. I felt a horny hand grip my stitches. I bid a hasty goodbye to my pals, and the next thing you know, it was pitch black and some sharp object was digging into the L in American League. It was then I realized I was in the ump's back pocket and his garage key was playing havoc with my horsehide. I peeked through the blue serge seat of his trousers, which was wearing mighty thin, and noticed a crowd of 50,000 eager beavers all screaming for Yogi to bang the brains out of my erstwhile friend and companion, Sal the Ball. You should have heard the things they were yelling about poor Sal.
Give it a ride, you dirty! Blast it out of the park! Tear the cover off of that ball!
Can you imagine someone tearing your skin off? Well, the next thing I heard was...
Strike!
Attaboy, lefty! One thing, when you're a baseball, you root for both pitchers. Then it happened. The pitcher wound up.
Barrett!
No! Over the wall!
Yogi Boy! Yogi Boy! Yogi Boy!
I couldn't see what was going on, but I had a queer feeling Sal was not long for this ballpark. And neither was I. A few seconds later, I felt the broiling hot sun on my tender horsehide and listened to the catcher and the pitcher talk it over.
Too bad, Lefty.
Well, he was due. How are we going to work this next guy?
Burn it right in there.
The catcher was thumping me into that greasy glove and rubbing me up so terrible, I thought he might have made a nick in me already and they'd throw me out of the game. But no such luck. They started to whip me around the infield, as they usually do with a new ball. They call it a little pepper.
Little pepper in there, boy!
Ow!
Little pepper in there, boy!
Ow! Hey, little pepper in there, boy! Ow! At last, they were giving me back to the pitcher.
Put a little dirt on it for you, Lefty.
Uh-oh. Ooh. Ooh. Ever brush your teeth with dry sand?
Play ball!
Well, this was it. First, I heard some encouraging talk.
He can't hit you, Lefty boy. Burn it past him, Lefty. He cannot smell you, Lefty boy.
And then some terrifying statements all the way from the bleachers.
Give it a ride, you dirty. Blast it out of the park. Tear the cover off of that ball.
Oh, that last guy. I'll bet he's the life of the party. Well, here's the wind-up. Here I go.
Strike!
Well, that's one of them.
Why, you robber?
Uh-oh, a rhubarb.
Watch your language, you'll go out, out, out.
You got a bet on the game?
Shut up, you'll go out, out, out. Why, you gutless, that does it. Out, out, out. Why, you double-crossing bottom of the deck stumble. Now, now, now.
While all this was going on, I thought I'd grab a little nap. But the third baseman came in and took me from the catcher so he could hit the umpire better, and before you know it...
Little pepper in there, boy!
Ow!
Little pepper in there, boy!
Ow! Let's pepper it up in here, Lefty boy! Soon everybody got down to business once again.
Tear the cover off of that ball!
Sometimes I think it's better to get hit over the wall. One hard shot and it's all over. It's those singles and doubles and line drive outs will send you out of your mind. You stay in there, they keep getting them bingles off you. The other way, one good smash and that's it. It's like a fighter. He gets knocked out. Sometimes he's better off than staying in there and taking it 15 rounds. Uh-oh. Here we go again.
Ow! Look out!
Some joke. I hit the announcer's booth. Everybody's laughing. What a scream, huh? Okay. Back in play. Strike two. One more to go. The wind-up and...
Strike three! Little pepper in there, boy!
Ow!
Little life in there, boy!
Ow!
Little pepper in that old man!
Ow! You can't win. Well, the next two batters walked and the pitcher was coming up and I felt mighty relieved. One more out to go and it'd be all over. Pop up, pop up, pop up, I kept saying over and over to myself. The pitcher pops up, the pitcher pops up. Then I heard the announcement over the loudspeaker.
Number seven! Mantle coming up to bat for Pennington.
My cork heart sunk to the inside of my twine. Mickey Mantle. Oh, what a clout this guy could give me. I started to imagine all kinds of crazy things as I seen him emerge from the dugout swinging five or six bats. Maybe he just gets hold of a piece of me and twists me permanently out of shape. Maybe he fouls me off about 45 times and I lose my marbles for good. Maybe he sends me on a line drive into the corner of a hot dog griddle. Oh, I was going nuts thinking the most horrible and grisly thoughts. They were brought to a quick stop by the usual guys.
Wallop it out of the park, Mickey boy! Murder the ball, Mickey boy! Tear the stitches out of it and send it to Weehawken!
Oh, how I hated that guy. Then come that old feeling, that crazy pitcher's wind-up. Ow!
Ball!
What a relief. They didn't even pep me around this time. With Mickey up, they were afraid he'd steal first. The catcher waved time out. He came towards the rubber.
Keep it high and a little outside. Let him hit it. The bleachers are 450 feet away.
Let him hit it?
Let him hit it. But maybe he's right. A long fly ball, I'll be caught, then I can get a good night's rest. Okay, catcher, I'm with you. The pitcher took a short wind-up and let me go, high and outside. But Mickey stepped into me and let me have it. I felt myself sailing through the air as though I'd just been released from a rocket gun. Up, up, up I soared, and the crowd roared and roared and roared. The higher I went, the more they roared. I saw the bleachers way, way down below, like from a flying saucer. I was flying over the bleachers.
That's tearing the cover off of it, Mickey boy.
5 minutes later, I bounced on the pavement and into a sand lot. About 7-8 kids chased me. A little fella, about 9 or 10, scooped me up and ran away with me. But he didn't go to the subway, and he didn't go home. He was headed back to the ballpark. It occurred to me I wouldn't be sacrificed to the Sandlotters after all. The boy had a soul. He was taking me in to be autographed by the guy who powdered me. In the locker room, a man gave the kid $50 and a new ball for me, and everybody was all excited like I was an heirloom or something. Even Casey Stengel kissed me. Suddenly, I realized what it was all about. Mickey had hit me for the world's longest home run. The next day, I was shipped to Cooperstown and took my place with all the other famous baseballs in history. And that's where I am today, flanked by as nice a bunch of baseballs as you guys would ever want to see. Balls hit by the Babe, Lou Gehrig, Frankie Frisch, Ty Cobb, and Ted Williams. Hank Greenberg, Joe DiMaggio, Willie Mays, and Tris Speaker. Boy, I'm in real solid company. They can't tear me apart in here. Some of the other balls are pretty badly beaten up, or maybe that's just the way they made him in those days. I shouldn't really complain, but you know, where Mickey signed me, it still hurts.